because you weren't here, so I guarantee you.
Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza.
Here.
Council President Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. Scott Piper is obviously not here. If you will join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, the first item is we need to amend the agenda. We need to remove item 4E1 from the consent agenda and add it as item 7G. And then we want to move item 7D because we won't be making a decision on it, but we still need discussion. So we need to move item 7D to the end of the agenda under discussion items. And if there's anything else, anyone else?
Mayor, I had a few more I would like to request to be for a couple more amendments to be pulled from the consent agenda. I had some questions regarding the final plat of 16-14 FP. I'd like to remove that from the consent agenda, move that to 7H. And then on the accounts payable, I had two payables. I just wanted a little more discussion and addressment of. One is the Kendall Ford bill. I'd like to move that to 7I. And then there's two bills on here for the Jordell Company and Conpaz. Just had a few questions on those. I'd like to move that to 7J. I make a motion doing all those.
Including the one that Joe said?
Correct, yes, including, yes.
I second.
Motion's made and seconded to amend the agenda as such. Chris, wherever you'll get those all down. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. And as for the rest of the consent agenda.
Mayor, if there's no other discussion, I move that we approve the remaining consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the remaining consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Business items. Consideration to approve Stephen Damron as new Planning and Zoning Commissioner, whose term would expire November 1, 2019. Wendy Howell?
I provided you with a summary narrative from Stephen Damron, who is interested in the Planning Zoning Commissioner position that was vacated by Stephanie Worsham. His term would expire November 15th, not 1st, now that it has changed dates. I just submitted it to you for approval, hopefully. This is the only one that we have received thus far.
Okay.
Any discussion? Mayor, I move that we approve the appointment of Stephen Damron to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Motion is made and second for the appointment of Stephen Damron to the new Planning and Zoning Commissioner. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Item 7B, to approve resolution number R86-2016, approving agreement with JUB Engineers to design Ordell Pump Station. Gordon Law.
Mayor and members of council, it's been about 9 years since the city has built a pump station. We've got a location that we think deserves consideration, and we've requested proposal from JUB Engineers for the design of it. And the reason it becomes important now is we're reaching the end of the capacities of the existing pump stations, and also there are some dead spots in the system in the sense that it's hard to maintain pressure in certain locations. And this particular item is intended to address that, but we're also including one other item in it, and that's trying to figure out a way to take up less space for the ponds that go with these, and that's one of the reasons I asked for a particular individual at JUB to assist us in the design of this, trying to figure out a tighter as well as economically better way of approaching these ponds and pond sizes to support these pump stations. The price is listed in the memo that came with it, reviewed it. We've discussed it and haggled about the price, and I think it's about where it's going to end up. So with that, I guess I would recommend approval of the resolution and stand for questions that council might have, both on the project and on the proposed contract.
Okay, questions for Gordon?
Mayor, I move that we approve resolution R86-2016.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution R87-2016. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Okay. Item 7E, consideration to approve resolution number R89-2016, creating an art commission and appointing members. Chris Engels.
Sorry. Are we?
We skipped C.
As 7D is supposed to go at the end of the.
That short timer's attitude coming forward
C?
Now,
just,
is it?
7C.
Did I miss C?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
I did. I missed item 7C. Consideration to approve resolution number RD7-2016 approving agreement with Keller Associates to design the CUNA 2017 pressurized irrigation project. Gordon.
I don't think I can talk about art. So this project is, again, a continuation of a number of pressure irrigation trunk line projects. Over the years, those same 8 or 9 years I've been talking about when we did not construct any pump stations, it was primarily because we were connecting them to storage facilities and other pump stations that helped to take advantage of the full capacity of these pump stations. This particular project does four things. One of them is it extends a line to Tomorrow Pump Station, extends a line to Chaparosa Pump Station, and extends a line to Crimson Pump Station, all of them to augment the supplies that come to those pump stations and hopefully take full advantage of the capacities of them. In addition, we have included a fourth item on this that came to our attention after the time the budget was approved, and so it's before you to be included in this as a water line extension. Fire chief called me up a month or 5 weeks ago about a low pressure spot for fire protection in the commercial area front parking on Highway 69. And so there is a piece of water line, 12-inch water line we're proposing to extend that we did not have included in as a line item in the budget, but which I present to you as probably a reasonable thing to do to support the development of the commercial area in the vicinity of Ridley's. So if there's any questions, my recommendation that the resolution be approved, but I stand for any questions the council may have on any item of these projects.
Okay, questions for Gordon?
Mayor.
Yes.
Should Ridley's and a tractor supply pay for the additional pressure to be contributed to that area?
Well, if you catch it at the right time, it's not a bad approach to take. But now each one of those projects has continued on past the point
okay.
in which it works very well to do that.
Okay.
And Gordon, you're proposing not using contingency, but to use a portion of the fund from Well Tank 5 and Booster Station. So you have no concerns budget-wise to do this?
No. If you remember right, when I proposed that, it's a rather large project, that I said I needed to come back and evaluate a number of things, including other demands on the system, like, for instance, that might go out towards the east to Falcon Crest, other items. Well, it's in the same spirit in which I propose this. Something we didn't know during budget. We know it now, and maybe it's time to address it using a portion of those funds.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions for Gordon?
I move we approve resolution number R87-2016.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution R87-2016. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boone Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor,
yes.
Before we proceed, could I ask Gordon one question?
No, he already sat down.
Okay. A generic question, Gordon. Somewhere here it says we cannot determine the best qualified engineering firm based on cost. Why is that? What is the philosophy that the state would pass a law saying you cannot use cost as a condition of acceptance?
And you've seen this on a number of the submittals that I've
right.
given here. Without expressing an opinion whether I appreciate the position or not, apparently the Professional Engineers Organization proposed many years ago a process for evaluating engineering contracts so that it didn't become a bidding war for services where price was the only issue. And convince the legislature that making selection on the basis of cost was not the criteria under which these services should be provided, but the qualifications to perform the work. Now that was a decision. It's incorporated into the code, and so it's a little counterintuitive considering the business that we do. So I include that there just to remind me and everybody else, I have to make my decisions on the basis of qualifications to perform the work. But I do watch costs, and if there's ever any case when the qualifications are roughly equivalent, then I look at the history of these guys and see what they've been doing and how well the projects have done, how effectively they use their design dollars and so forth. But I just keep reminding myself.
Okay. I was just curious why the contractors working under the engineer have to bid it, and they take traditionally low bidder, yet the engineers don't have to be accountable for their fees. So they're all competitive, though, aren't they, as percentages?
Well, you know, what I do, and I think it's included in the memorandum I sent in, is I list the last projects, and I even unitize it per foot, what it's cost for those portion of the expenditures of a project, just to keep track of what's going on. Now, it gets harder when you're talking about something like, say, the JUD contract for a pump station, because it's hard to unitize that. It's hard to pick a per foot or per pound or something to compare on. And each one of them has its own unique conditions. But for pipeline projects, you can kind of get the drift of how expenditures are going.
Okay. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, now item 70, considering approving resolution R89-2016 creating an art commission and appointing members. Chris Ingalls.
Mayor and Council, I provided a resolution as well as copies of the letters of interest from the interested parties. There are nine of them. They're an enthusiastic group. They've been contacting me frequently to find out when this might get started, and I stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Chris?
Do we have, are there like term limits for this? Or I know you mentioned that there were quite a few additional people who were interested, and I just wondered if there was an opportunity to rotate on the committee at some point, or if
the limits set out in the resolution are 2-year term limits. And that'd be under, be it further resolved in the resolution.
Mayor?
Yes.
Would there be a conflict of interest of having an employee of the city on this committee?
So I discussed that with the mayor, and I discussed that with Richard also, and it's her time, and she's not being compensated for it.
Okay. I don't mind her being on it. I just didn't want a problem down the road on a decision.
Okay, so I found the part where it mentions kind of in passing over the 2-year term. Do all of them start at the same time, so then the entire commission rotates off at once, or would there be value in staggering that a bit so that there's always somebody with some commission knowledge staying on there for when new people come on?
I think that's a good idea. It's a fairly large group for a commission to start. I think what we're kind of finding in some of our committees and commissions like these, that some fall off and that type of thing, but if you are more comfortable, we can certainly stagger them and see who would be interested in 1-year terms and 2-year terms and assign those as appropriate.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine with like 1 or 2 or even 2 or 3 just to start, so that my vision would be that like no more than half the committee would finish a term at a time, and that way as new folks come on, you have institutional knowledge, so there's not as much time like getting stuff figured out before they can actually start doing stuff, if that makes sense.
Certainly, and we can actually do that in the bylaws.
Okay.
Further questions?
Mayor, I just had a comment. I read through all these, and I mean, there's even some great ideas already being pitched. So I think I have no problems with it at all. I think there's a good diversified mix of people on here with already some good ideas. So I have no qualms about them.
Okay.
Then, Mayor, no other discussion. I will move that we approve Resolution R89-2016, creating an art commission and appointing members.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Resolution Number R89-2016. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Item 7F, consideration to approve approximately $5,000 from the contingency fund to secure archival supplies for certain permanent city documents. Chris.
Mayor, Council, I included a little bit lengthy memo with this. We have documents going back to 1915. We have minutes, agendas. They are in such fragile shape that we need to really pay attention to how the documents we have now are being preserved. so that in 100 years, you know, we are not experiencing the same kind of deterioration. One of the deterioration factors is that we flip through the pages frequently. Another factor is the type of paper. Archival paper has not been the standard for the city. And we had applied for a grant with the Idaho Historical Society, and they educated us quite well on the necessary use of archival paper, not only for the permanent document retention, but also for the reference copies as well. Even though the reference copies are used, they still are retained and need to be viable. And so what I'm asking for is $5,000 out of contingency to obtain turned edge binders. They're 120-point binder boards, so they're a little bit more secure for our agendas, minutes, ordinances, resolutions, and irrigation documents, because those are all permanent historical documents to the city. And then we also would obtain other archival supplies, such as archival bond paper. And we'll also look at archival boxes, and they have expanding archival folders with them, so that the retention of the permanent documents on the archival paper will go in those, and then the reference papers will go in the binders that are designed to move those pages a little bit freer, and then they'll be on the archival paper as well. It is a little bit of investment, but like I said, we're trying to catch up from 1915, and then going forward, that would just be the standard for our permanent documents on this selection, and then you know the price would be far less each year, be more close to what we spend annually versus all at once.
And we had talked about this, Chris and I, that some of those documents are getting in such fragile shape that we thought we should probably get this done sooner than later. And the other thing that made us want to go ahead and do this now is that they're going to be building the room to store all those documents and everything in. So if we have some idea of what those are going to look like and how they need to be stored, I think it'll be much more efficient that way rather than doing it in next year's budget and then modifying the storage facility to fit those new items. So,
and additionally, if we're able to convert over to archival paper at this point for our reference copies, I would come back at a later time to discuss with council their thoughts on actually transferring our true permanent records of the city to the Idaho Historical Society, and then they have temperature-controlled rooms, and you know they are the experts certainly in that field, and that is they welcome those records, and they'll also work with us on you know certain aspects of preserving documents, even the reference copies.
So just out of curiosity, is there a requirement that we have to maintain paper copies of everything currently?
Yes. We have converted most of these documents over to digital copies for retention purposes, but we still are required to have paper copies of these.
So we have to do this to all the older stuff, not just from now forward, but we have to go back and put all the older stuff onto this paper.
That's what I'm asking to do, okay. Yes.
Where are we as far as the digital? Are we done with that? We've got everything already that we've been working on? Is that already done? Or
no. We, as far as the clerk's office, we have digitalized most of our documents, and in most cases, we're in a additional, we just add to the documents as they come in. We then have other permanent documents of the city that we need to now address to get those digitalized as well for other departments.
My concern is, do we have one enough staff to do it? When we started the digital thing, we thought it was going to be a part-time thing, and it's turned into a full-time thing. So I'm concerned if we're going to be able to do all this in a year, whether or not we can maybe split some of this up. The other question I have, is it from contingency of just the general fund or contingency across the board through all the funds?
When I talked with John, he explained because they're the city's documents that it comes from all the funds.
How long do you think it would take to put all this stuff on paper?
I'm going to say for the better part of 2017. I mean, we're a busy office. We work hard to keep up, but it's the responsibility of the clerk's office to preserve these documents, and that is what this is trying to do.
And I don't have a problem with that. I don't. That's not more my concern. My concern is whether or not we have the staff time to do it, and how fast we're going to be able to get it done. That we need to buy all of it at once. And then, I mean, we haven't even completed the digital copies, and now we're putting all, we have to take all that and reprint everything onto this paper.
Certainly, I see what you're saying. The documents that I'm referring to in this memo, which would be minutes, agendas, resolutions, ordinances, and irrigation, those are all digitalized. Those are not the documents that have not been digitalized yet. It's other departments. I need to work with those directors to go over their documents and the digitalization of those.
So we just need to print all this stuff off is pretty much at this point.
Yes, there's and then transfer the existing permanent documents into the archival boxes and the archival folders, because it's a I'm certainly no expert in it, but it's a different type of material that doesn't destroy the pages within.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd like it done in stages, I certainly can try and evaluate that as to the best way to do that.
If it needs to be done in stages because you don't have the staff to finish it all, then I'd like to do it that way. But if you think you can use all this in a year, then I don't have a problem doing that. And that's where my concern is, whether or not we're going to be able to use all this and keep up with everything else. I mean, it's just adding another a duty to your office, and that's where my concern is. That like I said, I was expecting the digital when we originally talked about that. I don't think it was going to be as long as we expected, and so that's where my concern is. I don't want to buy stuff now that we're not even going to touch for 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're confident that you, and I'm not saying all of it, but the majority of it.
Well, if you'd like to consider approval of, I don't know, maybe 25% of that amount, and then I guess when we get done with that, I can come back and ask for more.
Well, I'll take your whatever you. I mean, if you want 50%, I'll give you 50. I'll go with your judgment, but that's my only concern. So, I mean, if you think you can do it all, then I'll give it all to you. But
I think one of the things we're going to run into is some of the really old documents are going to take a little more time than some of the newer documents, just because of how we have to handle those. So to give an actual estimate on time, I think it's going to be a little tough to do. But for me, I think it'd be wise just to get it in all at once. That way we know what room it's going to take in the storage. We have it sitting there, and as they can do projects, they can do them. And I really don't think we're going to run out that much more than a year, but like I say, we get into some of these really old documents, it's going to be something that we're just going to have to take our time with and be careful with and that type of thing. But I think beyond that, I don't know how many of those there is, but I think most of the stuff will go fairly rapidly. And I suppose it'd be possible we could even do some of the older ones and then work our way backwards if need be to get it done quicker.
Right. And then moving forward, everything would just be on a standard with archival paper for the permanent and reference copies.
And the last question, I just want to make sure that when we were considering building this room, that we've considered everything that would be put into that room to make sure we build it to handle everything, so we're not.
Certainly, we'll be working with Bob closely on that, and we've started in some of the upcoming meetings. I'll be coming to council for destruction of some records that we have that we don't need to retain any longer. That, of course, that has to go through the Historical Society first, and then Richard takes a review. I've already reviewed them. So, I mean, that's a process. Then it comes to council for review for destruction. So some of those things, we're trying to get those documents moved out and established, and then Bob's been very great about, you know, just tell me what you need and we'll work through it. And, you know, I mean, there's factors. I was talking to the mayor today, and there's a city by northern Idaho, central northern Idaho. They are in an old building, and the records were in the basement of the county offices, and, you know, the sewer backed up, and it destroyed all the permanent documents. So I just, you know, it's just another example of why our documents need to be tended to carefully.
Well, I agree on all that. Like I said, I don't have a problem with that, and I just want to make sure if we think that we may need this room for other stuff, that we adjust the size accordingly. I think it'd be cheaper to build a little bigger now than add on to it later if we have no other ideas. So I'll leave that up to you guys. You guys know what needs to go in there. So.
Yeah, and that's kind of one reason we wanted to get most of this in all at once, so we can better see what needs to go in there.
Well, nothing else. I will move that we approve the $5,000 from the contingency from all the funds to secure archival supplies for certain permanent city documents.
Second.
Sure. Motion is made and seconded to consider the approval of approximately $5,000 from contingency fund to secure archival supplies.
I have a question.
Richard.
Is the motion from all the funds or just the general fund?
All the funds.
I thought you wanted from the general fund.
No, because they're permanent documents for the city. John let me know that the funding would come from each fund. He's got a proportional formula that's established.
I thought you had said just the general fund.
So. No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, go that's ahead fine. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Council President Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Okay. Item 8A, ordinances.
7G.
What a minute?
We're in the 7G.
Oh, I forgot about all the 7 things here. Okay. So we need to go back to from the consent agenda, which on the consent agenda was 4E1. Is now item 7G that had to do with the lift station.
Was the rezone and the preliminary plat too? Did we move that? So,
too many notes.
Yeah, I think 7E was the. Or maybe you're right.
So did there. So now we're on 7G, which was okay. So that had to do with the Steve Arnold.
So it was 4E1. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was 4E1. And then, are we on with that?
Okay. So this is the rezone, 16-01 ZC rezone and 1601-S subdivision 18. So this is the one that only Brianna can vote on.
Do we need approval to state that we're recusing ourselves?
Yes.
Okay. Just based on previous discussions, is that right? Or,
yes.
Okay. Mayor, based on previous discussions, I will be recusing myself from the voting of rezone of 1601 ZC and the preliminary plat for subdivision 1601.
Okay.
Mayor, I also will be recusing myself from 1601 ZC and 1601.
Okay, and Richard Cardona.
I will be excusing myself from 1601ZC and 1601S.
Okay.
I approve the findings of fact and conclusions of law for 1601ZC and 1601S.
Okay, the findings of fact and conclusions of law have been approved for case numbers 1601ZC and 1601S, which now brings us to item 7G, CFG, H7H now. Okay, 7D, that goes to the end. Okay, 7H, these are the ones that you wanted to have added on.
Yes, Mayor, the 7H was referring to the final plat approval of 16-14-FP. Based on recent events, I'm trying to make sure that I do have all my T's crossed and my I's dotted. So I've gone back and reviewed our final plat ordinance of 6-2-4. There's several requirements in here that is stating that certain things be approved and inspected and completed before a subdivider can submit for final plat approval. So I guess my question is, I want to definitely make sure that I'm reading this properly. Where I'm referring to is mainly at the very end of 6-2-4, where it says the following items shall be completed by the subdivider and inspected and approved by the city engineer or their designee and other approving agencies prior to the subdivider submitting for final plat approval. And said items are not eligible for financial guarantees as provided by KCC 643. The city engineer's approval shall be in the form of memorandum confirming completion of the following. A couple things on here that I noticed. One, that there was number four is requiring the construction of all around weather road systems subject to the CUNA Fire Chief and Ada County District inspections and approvals. I did not see where they approved the road system. Number five is the installation of street signs followed by City Engineer, CUNA Fire District, and ACHD inspections and approvals. Those street signs are currently not installed. And item number nine, provide permanent approved perimeter fencing along the subdivision outer perimeter, which shall require a building permit. And unless I've missed it somewhere where that's not required, that hasn't been completed either. So my suggestion, and I'll leave this open for before anything else, is that we table this until those items are completed and signed off as required by 6-2-4.
Wendy?
I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Typically, we bring it to council for approval. What you're proving is the technical requirements of the plat itself. The construction and all of that is done after the approval of City Council, which is signed off by Gordon, and he does the inspections. Until those things have been done, he will not sign it. And he cannot sign it until City Council has approved it. So it's just one of the steps of many before we get to the final.
So
the construction of roads and all of that is happening simultaneously as the plat is processing.
Richard, can you look at that? Because that's not the way I'm reading it. The way I'm reading it is that all this needs to be done prior to the subdivider even submitting for final plat approval. And it's going to be the last part of it. It's going to be under... after G.
Can you clarify? You're looking at city code, not something in our packet.
No, I'm looking at city code, 6-2-4 in our final plat. And it's at the very end where it says that the following items should be completed by the subdivider and inspected and approved by the city engineer and or designee and other approving agencies prior to subdivider submitting for final plat approval. I don't know if I'm reading that wrong, because I'm reading it as all that has to be done prior to somebody submitting for approval.
Gordon, would you like to? And I don't know what the subheading of what you're reading is either.
It doesn't really have it. It's after there's A, B, C, D, E, F, there's G.
So what's and right it before says A?
Additionally, it gives 9 points that needs to be done. And it's even saying that the approval shall be in a memorandum confirming the completion of the following.
So what is stated right before A?
Right before, I don't understand. Well, A is the following procedure shall apply to the filing for final plat approval of the City of Cuna subdivision. So it lists all the procedures, and then additionally, these procedures or these items need to be completed prior to before them submitting for a final plat approval. So I'm just trying to find out if
you would like, this is, I believe he's referring to final plat approval, which is your approval.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
I don't know that I'm prepared to answer the question specifically. I can tell you that what Wendy said about the very end before we sign the plat and the plat becomes effective, those things that you read are the things that we specifically go through. My statutory charge is to do that before I affix my signature on the plat. In fact, I'm the last one that affixes that signature so that those things are done. Now, I would be interested in knowing as well on the city attorney's evaluation of whether approving the plat is the same as signing, or approving the plat is the same as the vote here where we're approving the form of the plat, because I don't know the answer.
Yeah. And my question is only concerning procedural. And because there is even references in here that we are to take into consideration of the agency's comments. And if the agencies haven't even looked at it and commented, then how do we take that consideration?
I think it's an appropriate question. I believe those are submitted, is that right, Wendy?
Yeah.
As part of this process here to get their comments.
I have all of the documents that were submitted, including yours. That was dated October 31st. And ACHD will not sign the plat until they're satisfied, and it goes through each of the agencies that way. And that's how we know that they've been satisfied, is when their signature shows up on the final plat.
Then why would we, as council, I guess, why am I even having to approve this?
It's red tape. That's the best I can tell you.
What section were you looking at again?
I'm under 6-2-4, mm-hmm. Under subdivisions, it's final plat. It's at the very end. There's A, B, C. There's all the way down to G, and then it says additionally, and then it says the following items shall be completed by the subdivider, and there's 9 different items that need to be completed prior to the subdivider submitting for final plat approval.
Roads. Would it be useful if we tabled this till the end of this meeting so you'd have a chance to look through the code a little bit and see if you have any insight or?
Yeah, I'm just reading. I'm trying to reconcile the first portion of 6-2-4 where it discusses the city engineer's signature of the final plat mylar with what was apparently added at some other time. Says additionally, colon, and then adds those conditions that Council Member Jones was referring to, and perhaps a couple of minutes to discuss with Gordon the process. If his signature is the last one that goes on,
and that's what it says there.
Does that contradict the submission of that before the city council, before those items can be done. But maybe just a conflict in the code that hasn't been resolved.
Let me ask one other thing. If there is comments that the city engineer is requiring, does any of that change the final plat?
Say that again, please.
If there's any requirements that the city engineer is requiring, would that change the final plat?
I think he's saying, like, if we were to approve it tonight, and then the city engineer still needs to go through and do these things and maybe says that they need to change something, what happens then?
We are too far down the road for that. His requirements that for any changes in that is generally taken care of early on in the process before we even come here. We talk to Gordon. We communicate with Gordon to verify that his requirements are satisfied before we come here. And I think if you look in the either. Prior to the city engineer's signature, it states above the additionally provisions of this chapter and the city council has approved the final plat.
Yeah, I definitely understand Pat's confusion, though, because under the additionally part, it talks about the street signs and things like that being installed, so things that definitely haven't happened yet, according to Pat. I haven't gone out and checked or anything.
Arbor Ridge 3.
I think a literal reading would require that those items be done before it is submitted to council for approval with the memorandum and the city engineer explaining it. That's what it says in the code. So.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. So we can talk about it tomorrow.
Okay, so are we
where
okay?
Where are we at with this process, and we need to table this until we get that addressed?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll just potentially put the developer.
And this is
2 weeks behind, which is a lot of money, but, you know.
So it'd be tabling 16-14-FP Arbor Ridge number 3?
Yes. I guess I will then move that we table case number 1614FP, Arbor Ridge number 3 final plat, until the first meeting in December.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table Arbor Ridge number 3, 16-14-FP final plat until the first meeting in December. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Mayor, just that, I have no, not to say necessarily objections, but if it needs to be reworded, I would assume you'd bring that to us again. I don't.
Okay, item 7A, whichever you have there.
7I, the one regarding the Kendall Ford purchase. John's not here to answer this.
Just sorry, real quick, for clarification, can you just tell us what page in the agenda we should be on?
You're on accounts payable 33 of 75, under 4B. I don't have the actual, let me see if I can find it real fast. It's
page 85 of
248. Okay. And then it's listing the Kendall Ford and Meridian. The question I have, I just want to make sure that procedurally what we're doing is what we have to do to make sure that this is done accordingly to what I've thought, and Richard can correct me if I'm also under the impression of something different. John's not here to clarify this, but according from what I've talked to him in the past, the last council meeting, under the GL period, on the right-hand side column is the month and year that is being expensed out of. And I'm referring to the building inspection pickup truck, water irrigation truck I have no concerns with. I have no concerns with the purchase of the building pickup truck. It's just showing it's coming out of September of 2016, which it wasn't budgeted for. I was under the impression before that if we do something like that, we would have to do a budget amendment, which possibly could require a public hearing. But I don't know the procedure, and I just, before I...
I think we can have him correct the date on that to be out of this fiscal year. I don't know why it was September 16, 2016, but we can have him adjust that date.
Was it budgeted for this year, though, if we moved it?
It's budgeted for this year. It's budgeted
for this fiscal year.
Yes. I just, if you can also ask him, I've been through audits before, and
okay.
Typically when you purchase and receive something, it has to be extended to that month. So if I can just get clarification that, so at this point, Mayor, I approve that we pay the Kendall Ford pickup truck for the water irrigation. I'm assuming this looks like it's already been paid anyways. But as far as the building pickup truck to have our city treasurer change that to reflect the GL period of October, and if I get clarification that that's not going to be any type of an issue.
Okay.
Otherwise, if they can just bring it back, that'd be great.
Second? I think I followed that.
So your motion is to pay these and then just have that clarification on the GL period?
Yeah, because it looks like they've already been paid. So, right. I mean, yeah, I'll prove that paid. We need the truck. There's no issue with that. I don't have a problem paying.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that there's not going to be anything that's come up.
Motion's made and seconded then to approve the purchases and then receive clarification on the GL time period. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And then you had an item 7J, is that right?
Yeah, I had a 7J referring to the Jordell, let me find out what page it, the accounts payable page, the first one is page 14 of 75, which is the compos for the rental of the CUNA Event Center for
page,
the holiday show.
Page 66 of 248.
Thank you. In the amount of $1,650. And in conjunction with that, of you said 66, so we're going to page 51. 103 is the Jordell Company for the expense of $3,400 for the mailer. The concern I have is that the city has spent over $5,000 to put on an event. I'm not necessarily against the event. That is not my concern. My concern is the value of the money that we have spent to do this. When we sent the flyers out for the mud run, we only spent $1,600, and we doubled that for this expense. And I just I feel that the value that we've spent for $5,000. I'm just a little concerned with that, and also I'll leave it there first. And
can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do we know what the cost is associated with adding something to the utility bill? Like if we, rather than mailing out a flyer separately, like if we did an insert or something like that for the utility bill, do we, off the top of your head, do you have any idea what that runs?
I don't know what it is exactly.
Okay.
I can discuss the difference in the price between the mud run and this one, and that is that I worked with Mark in depth on the EDDM process. And so basically that is a less expensive way to do a mail out because it includes the card and all the printing and then the postage. And you actually select certain
mail routes.
Yeah, certain mail routes. And so this particular price includes all mail routes for the city of CUNA. So In the other one, we only did certain mail routes based on subdivisions because we were trying to target more families, whereas this one we wanted to make sure that everybody in CUNA knew, because additionally we were taking input on downtown revitalization. So that explains the difference in the cost.
Can I ask how much money we made off of this? You collected 20%?
The 20% off the vendor share was a little over $1,500, plus we had another, $165 in table fees. And the intent was to introduce this event for downtown with a good advertising run. We certainly know that next year, that we were inverted this year, we expected that. We are well aware that we won't be able to do this again next year. So the intent was to introduce this downtown option to the community, in a bold way, and then and use our marketing funds and downtown funds that we had available to us through High Five, which I had reviewed these expenses with them prior to. And that's the purpose of the big mail out. But it's not something that will occur again because there won't be funding to do it again.
My only concern was is that I just want to make sure that I feel that if somebody were to come in and ask us for this type of money to do an event, we would not be approving it. I wouldn't approve it. So I'm just a little concerned about that was spent. I can offer the same thing, and I don't know if I would get that same amount of money from the city if I were to offer the same thing. So that's where my concern came from.
I don't think I understand your statement.
If I came up here 2 weeks from now and asked for $5,000 for an event that I was going to do downtown to bring people downtown, and I offered you 20% for downtown revitalization, and offered that you can put downtown your posters in there about downtown and have somebody there, I don't think I wouldn't approve it. I wouldn't give somebody $5,000 to do that.
So this was a city implemented, facilitated. This was city facilitated. It wasn't facilitated by a private party.
And I understand that, but I just don't know why there's a difference, I guess. Why we treat private party different than we would from a city event.
Because the city event, this particular event, the purpose of it was to bring about a new fundraising mechanism for downtown. And downtown will be ongoing for a number of years. And to enhance and begin to enhance the economic vitality of downtown by bringing people downtown, getting them out of their vehicles, using the pedestrian walkways. Also, the funding was targeted to do this type of event for downtown revitalization, which includes walkability, getting out of your car, economic redevelopment, vitality. And so this money was targeted for that and was targeted for these types of events and has been through the entire grant process, so that we seed the project really well to start with. And then in the future years when we continue forward, we know that we have to work within the seeded budget that's available. It's very similar to some of the other programs that we've done, that there's the initial investment is more costly than the subsequent years. So it's a targeted project within the grant for this particular area of focus for the grant.
And I understand that. I would think, though, that if our goal is to bring people downtown to spend the money downtown, I don't know if that occurred here.
I'll play devil's advocate. I went to the event, and then we walked over to Lima Limon and spent like $55 having lunch and stuff, and then we walked over to the gas station and got a red box. So it worked in terms of us. I mean, it got us walking around downtown. We spent money a couple different places and that sort of thing.
And I think that's great, but did Lima Limon have an opportunity to be part of it, I guess, and maybe put their name on it or something? And that's where I'm just trying to draw that line to make sure that we're not we treat everybody consistently and fair, not necessarily. I mean, it's a learning experience, and I'm not here after that. I'm here procedurally wise to make sure that we don't the perception is in the correct spot.
Just to clarify, I'm totally on board with making sure we give we open up opportunities to lots of businesses in town when there is the opportunity for them to partner with us. I don't know that in this situation, it wasn't catered or anything. There was no opportunity to be like a food vendor or anything like that. So, yeah.
Is that money that we collect gone back to back into the contingency fund for the money that we've already taken out of that for downtown?
It came from a grant, though.
But what I'm saying is if we're using it for downtown fundraising, then I would assume to cover the costs that we've already given, because we spent over $140,000. Does that go back into contingency, or where does that money go at this point?
There's a separate account for downtown revitalization, and the whole purpose of this project, we knew that this event was going to cost more than we made for the initial time. Otherwise, we'd have never sent out that flyer. These flyers are very expensive. This was to raise awareness of this and to seed for a new event. This wasn't about making a bunch of money. This was about raising awareness, bringing people down to look at. We had a lot of people that looked at the project that had never seen it before. This wasn't about making a bunch of money. This was about getting awareness and starting to focus on bringing people downtown.
And I accept that, Mayor. I'm not necessarily concerned about making a profit off of it, but we've never spent this type of money on any of our other meetings that we've had regarding downtown that I'm aware of in this type of amount that has accomplished, I think, the same thing. Like I said, if somebody else came in here to offer to do that, I don't think we would give them that type of money. And that's where my only concern is.
Well, they'd have to have a good sales pitch to get that kind of money for something that they know is going to lose money.
Well, if the city's giving them the money, why would it matter to them? I mean, if you're going to give me $5,000 if I do an event next month that I'll give you 20% of all the proceeds I make, I'll let you come in and talk about downtown revitalization, I don't think you give me the $5,000.
Well, that's where the money came from, though, was a grant fund that helped us to promote this, so someone did give us the money to do this. So, I mean, and you're talking apples and oranges.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess let me ask this then before, and I think this will clarify everything, because I'm having a difficult time with this. And Richard, I'd like you to tell me where legally my responsibility is as far as the safeguard. I'm not safeguarding. Where is my liability as a council member that I'm approving an expenditure that I have no control over? Well, not that, but I mean, it's just, if I have no say in any of this, then why am I having to vote on it? Is what I'm getting at. If there's no need for my approval to do anything, then why are you asking me to vote to write the check?
Council Member Jones, because it's an expenditure of city funds. I guess you've made your point known how you feel, and if you want to abstain from voting on it, you are entitled to do that.
I think his confusion is where grant funds come into the city and then we're expending them through the city. So what he's saying is there it's city money. So what we need to explain here is how the grant funds work. When the grant funds come in, there are requirements that go with those grant funds. All of those things are approved with the people that give us those grants. And we run those things through them. So basically what's happening now is the grant funds come into the city. The city expends the funds in cooperation with what the people that award the grants with. Chris is shaking her head no. She's got a better answer.
But in some cases, they upfront the money to us. They say, we are granting you $100, and here's the $100. In other cases, it's a reimbursement. So we have to expend the money first, then we have to turn over the receipt, and then we have to turn over the invoice. We have to turn that all over to them. And when we turn those reimbursement requests in, we have to have met the criteria that we agreed to as part of the grant, which was defined in the scope of work that was submitted in the grant proposal, as well as a detailed budget. So when these expenses come before you as a council person, what it is it's confirming that we are following through with the commitment that we made as part of the grant.
So you're asking me to confirm something I know nothing about, though. I mean, I don't want to be here all night, but that's the way I'm looking at it. So like I said, I think for $5,000 we could have gotten better value out of our money, and I'll just leave it at that. So just agree to disagree.
All right. So do those two items, are they still outstanding from what we approved earlier?
Yeah.
All right. I move we approve. Let's see.
Mayor?
Richard, yes.
Before we go on, Brianna, how come that wasn't mailed out in the billing that we send every house in Kenna? Wouldn't that be much easier, more economical?
Actually, in this case, it wouldn't have been because of the printing costs in order to do a full color, you know, kind of a
right.
The printing costs just adds up. To do a double sided printing cost would
right.
have added up.
But you had the postage to mail that out, and we mailed to every house in Kuna in the city limits. Couldn't that have been an insert into the mailing for the billing that the city has each month?
When I talked to Mark at UPS, because that's who we work with locally, we discussed it, and this was his recommendation based on the recommendation that he gave us for the down and dirty. Certainly, I, in the future, can look forward and, you know, find out the printed on, because it's a glossy card print. It's an expensive print.
Yeah, it was a nice card, mm-hmm. Yes.
It was an expensive print. One of the other things, too, is that a lot of people don't open their bills. You know, that's common knowledge. And we are converting to a more electronic means. But we saturate out on social media and the website. And, yes, it was a big expense. I didn't love the expense of it, but at the other token, I did not want to exclude, you know, half of CUNA again this time.
Okay. One question that wasn't answered is, where did the 20% go? Did it go back into the Hi-Fi, or did it go into the downtown redevelopment program?
It goes into Downtown Revitalization Fund. So it's the same funds that we have, you know, when we get commitments of funds for downtown, it's that fund it goes to.
We're not obligated to put it back to the Blue Cross
no, sir.
Grant fund?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
I move we approve invoice number 110-12016. For $16.50 and number 000000000001-A for $3,488.73 for the downtown revitalization holiday art show and mailer.
Do we have a second? Motion's made and seconded. All in favor. Let's do a roll vote on this. Yes, if you would.
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Jones?
No.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And motion carried. And that got all through the consent agenda?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Ordinances. Item 8A, second reading and consideration to approve ordinance number 2016, adding a park standards chapter to the CUNA Municipal Code. This is an ordinance of the City of CUNA amending the city's municipal code by adding a new chapter entitled CUNA Park Standards that provides for development standards for new city parks, provides for a severability clause, provides for a repealer clause, and provides for the effective date of this ordinance upon passage, approval, and publication according to law.
Since this is a second reading, are we letting it go the full three? I can't recall.
Is there any reason to carry this one on? Do you want to?
I've received no public comment, or there have been no changes to the readings and pass it today. We certainly could.
Okay. Any further discussion in council? Okay.
Move we waive the third reading of ordinance number 2016 dash, does it have a number?
My apologies, it's number 31.
Oh, 31. I'm sorry, yes, I was supposed to read that, and she made me make a note of that, too.
2016-31.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to waive the third reading of ordinance number 2016-31. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
I move we approve ordinance 2016-31.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2016-31. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Council President Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve a summary of publication of ordinance 2016-31.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance number 2016-31. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance 2016-31 will become law upon publication. Item B, first reading and consideration to approve ordinance number 2016-33, annexing the Garcia property at 930 West Deer Flat Road into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District. An ordinance of the City of CUNA, Idaho, annexing parcel S131434671 and referred to as the Garcia property located at 930 West Deer Flat Road into the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, changing the respective boundaries of said districts, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto and pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law and providing an effective date. I think this is one we can fast track on.
Mayor,
yes.
I have a question for
okay.
Gordon, how come when we annex these properties, we don't annex the property rights at the same time? It's a different motion. We annexed them about a year ago, I think.
You're talking about annexing
the property.
Two annexations.
Right.
One, the annexation into the corporate limits of the city.
Yes.
The other annexation to annex the water rights for the purposes of delivery.
Right.
I wouldn't say it would be impossible to do that, but sometimes the property, for instance, has not changed its use. It continues to farm after it's annexed in, and it's cheaper, quite frankly, for the property owner to keep his own water rights rather than filter them through us and pay a little bit of a markup on it, passing through our hands. So that's one reason. The other reason is when we do annex water rights, we begin to pay the bill, whether we've got a place for those water rights to be used or not. And so there's a reluctance on my part as well not to annex them until we get to that point when we're actually converting the property to residential uses. That's
okay. If we annex the property into the city limits, we don't annex his water rights. Can he sell the water rights to someone else before we annex them into the CUNA's irrigation district?
There's two answers to that. There's two different types of water rights. One of the water rights is those that you might obtain, like if you're a farmer,
mm-hmm.
and you drill a well and begin to produce for irrigation purposes. That water right can be sold by that farmer. The water right that's held in trust in the irrigation Conservation District on behalf of these properties can't be sold. But what can happen, and maybe we need to consider more about it, what can happen is it can be abandoned and then transferred to other property in that irrigation district. Used to happen more than it does now, but a lot of the water rights, for instance, that we picked up is because other people have abandoned them. Right. Can't sell it. Can't sell that water right.
But you could maintain the water right and sell the water for that given year, the acreage.
Yes, you can.
So would it be beneficial for us, will we annex, to also annex the water right? I mean, he wants, the farmer wants the best of both worlds. He wants to be annexed into the city so he can subdivide, but he doesn't want to pay a little more for his water rights that should accompany the annexation of that property, is the way I look at it.
Well, I guess I haven't got a different answer to tell you than,
yeah, than what you gave me. Okay. Okay, it just seems like it would be logical if we're going to annex the property, we would annex the water rights too at the same time. But especially on somebody like Garcia, where he's got, what, 2 acres, I think, right there. That
perhaps in this particular case where it was, the whole purpose was for him to irrigate his property. I don't know that that makes sense to do 2 separate actions.
Yeah.
In other cases, it does.
I mean, it causes you more work. It causes the council more work. If it was all one motion at one time, it just seems like it would be cleaner and beneficial to both Garcia, let's say, and the city council, to just do it at one motion. So,
Richard, do you see a problem with that?
The question was doing it both at the same time?
Yeah, well, we have a unique situation tonight. Only purpose, one reason the guy is annexing is so he can connect to pressurized irrigation. And the question that Councilman Carlos is asking, could it? Should it have been done at the same time?
It certainly could have. I don't know tracking on. I know that Troy's usually working on the annexations, and Mike is preliminarily working on the thing. So it would be more of a coordination of getting those together. I think we could try to bring those in at the same time if we can. But the annexations are typically granted or approved by council with the condition of the water rights. So it's essentially just that second step that's taking place.
Okay. Amen.
I
okay. Anything further?
Move we waive 3 readings of ordinance 2016-33.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the 3 readings of 2016-33. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2016-33.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2016-33. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Council President Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve a summary publication of ordinance 2016-33.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2016-33. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance number 2016-33 will become law upon publication. That brings us to discussion items, which we're running into some situations with bidding and the way those things go now with the economy, the way things are, and everybody being busy. So Gordon has asked that we actually have a discussion on this so that council can kind of be brought up to date on where these things are going with us and kind of maybe why we're at where we're at here. So, Gordon, I'll let you go ahead. And
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we're asking you to take one additional action tonight. which is to table the approval of the bid or the award of bid that's mentioned for the Lake Hazel Sewer Project. But the purpose or the reason for requesting that delay until the first meeting in December is to give me time to negotiate a reduced project with the winning bidder and see if we can get a bid that is beyond the amount that we had explicitly budgeted for this project and get it closer in line and come back with a recommendation to you with regard to it. I don't know whether you're up to speed on what the project is. If not, I'll be glad to explain.
Yeah, let's go ahead and describe it a little bit. I think that was helpful.
We've been involved in the process of trying to figure out how to serve the corporate properties on the north side of town. Part of those corporate properties is the 107 acres we used to own, but was subsequently sold to a developer. But there are quite a few other acres up in that vicinity that in order to serve them, this Lake Hazel project, we're calling it, needs to be constructed so they can be brought in. The project involves what was to be a private lift station for the Memory Ranch development, upsizing it into a regional lift station, and then extending trunk lines north on 10 Mile to Lake Hazel, and from there branching one line continuing on north on 10 Mile, and the other one going to the east on 10 Mile, or excuse me, on Lake Hazel, and both of those branches crossing Mason Creek to get to the properties beyond which need to be served. There are some difficulties with this project, as well as a changed bidding climate because of the busy activity that's going on right now. So the price came in high to make it simple and plain. And when those things happen, you've got four things that you can do. You can cancel the project and delay things. You can negotiate a reduced project, or you can take contingency funds to cover the differential, or you can amend the budget. And my recommendation is let's try the easier one first. So I'm asking for 3 weeks' time, a date certain to the first meeting in December, in order to consider this bid. With that, I stand for any questions, or Mayor, if you have further explanations that you think might clarify it.
Yeah, so I think where we're at with this, it just seems that all the bids are kind of coming in high now just because of the temperature of the market on everything, and this one is no exception to that. So I think kind of what we're looking at is maybe downsizing the project, not so much capacity-wise, but length-wise. And so I think what we're asking here is just to give Gordon some time to look at what we can do to change this project up to bring it closer to within the budgeted amount that we had discussed in the beginning. So I guess one of the main reasons I wanted to bring this up here tonight is we have several items in our plans that we've estimated what bids will be on, and I guess I just kind of wanted to make you aware that we may end up in more than one case coming into this type of situation again where the bids are actually higher than what we originally anticipated. So I didn't want to just start hitting you with these every week that we're going to have to increase pricing on, but we're going to have to really seriously take a look at these projects and see what we can do to make things better, and maybe come back before council at some point and say, here's what we got and here's what we can get for what we got, and kind of bring some of these back up again. So that's kind of where we're at. I just wanted you to be aware. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that everybody's busy. It's getting harder to get contractors to do jobs, and now that they're all really busy. They seem to be bidding a little higher. I don't know that that's the case in this instance, but kind of appears to be. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. So I guess all we're asking, if there is more, if you have more questions or any of that, we can certainly do that. But mostly we need to table this item until the first meeting in December.
I have one question.
Yep.
Didn't we already allocate money for a regional in conjunction with the subdivision there on the west side of 10 Mile? Didn't we upsize that to a regional station?
Well, it's in the process of being upsized. It hasn't been paid for, at least our share.
Okay, and that's what we're talking about, yeah. Is the up.
I'll just give you the numbers in short. We have a budget of $700,000. We have a contingency account of $200,000. $200,000 of that is to upsize lift station. The remainder was to do this project, and the bid came in at $625,000, or $15,000, excuse me. The difference is upside down. I've got to, at least I feel like I need to get the project back either in that budget or closer to it, and then come and let council decide on it.
What's the alternative if you can't downsize it? I mean, we've already okayed the project.
You have three other options. I don't recommend all of them. At least I don't recommend any of them at this point until we go through this step. But the three options are: you can cancel the project and delay those who already begun to invest money on their projects, to kick them off for a year. Two, you can take the contingency account and dump it into the project, which I am reluctant to do now because I've got another project that may be affected similarly. I don't want to spend all the acorns on this one at the complete expense of the other one. The third thing you can do is you can amend the budget, which can be done any time up to the end of the fiscal year, and go ahead and do it as well it's bid and what we originally planned. Those are the options.
So actually what we're looking at here is keeping with the upsize of the project so that we don't have to do things over again and basically shorten the project and see what we can do to shorten up the project so it's not going out as far as still take care of the project that needs taken care of right now and the people that are doing the upsize and have agreed to that, it'll still take care of them. What will be short on is the amount of distance from that point to getting to the next person that needs service. So basically what it would do is probably require some more investment from the next person down the road or something to that effect. So we just think it's probably the wise decision to save the city some money and keep us within our budget that we have already discussed and set.
What is the difference between a conventional lift station and a regional lift station in cost?
And I can speak of specifics on the particular lift station that we're talking about.
Yeah.
The diameter of the wet well?
No, I'm talking financial difference.
$200,000. So what we negotiated with the developer was he was going to put in his local lift station that was going to cost a little in excess of $300,000. And we negotiated with him if we pay the increased amount, would that be okay with him and increase it to a regional lift station? He said, sure, he would cooperate with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it be any more beneficial to go with the conventional lift station and put in another lift station down Lake Hazel East?
I would say financially, that's probably not the thing to do. Remember, you're starting with on the conventional lift station at 300 and some thousand, and we're getting the increased size, which is several times more than double the capacity for $200,000 additional. I don't want to spend that $325,000 and do a second lift station when I can get the full meal for $200,000.
Okay, so two lift stations does not give any better capacity than one regional lift station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gordon?
That's kind of crappy, isn't it?
There you go.
I guess I'm a little not understanding this. We budgeted $700,000 for this project. We sent a bid out that came in at $615,000. Is that bid that, it maybe I missed it somewhere, are we wanting to do more now, so that's why this bid is no longer good? Or does this bid not reflect what we want to do?
We plan to do a certain size project, which yeah. really meant a certain length of sewer line and a certain number of crossings and so forth. We're proposing to do less to get the price back in.
I see it within budget, though. I don't understand where am I not missing that
without
budget.
So what I heard, I'm the translator.
Yeah.
What I heard Gordon say is we budgeted $700,000 for this.
Yep.
$200,000 of that was to go to one specific thing, and $500,000 was to go to this. And so this came in at $615,000. We need it closer to $5,000 in order to not dig into the other $200,000, which is.
So your $700,000 has actually turned into $900,000.
No.
We're $120,000 upside down based on this bid.
But of the $700,000, $200,000 was going to go for something else. And $500,000 was going to go to the regional.
To this exact scope of work that we're talking about right now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the $500,000 was only going to, so the $500,000 portion has gone from $500,000 to $115,000. So you're really off $115,000.
Right.
$115,000.
Which is, so you're trying to get it closer to the five, which is what we were hoping this would be in the first place.
Okay. And as Richard said, and I'm assuming if I'm reading this right, obviously we go from big to small as we go out because it has to handle less because everything's coming in and it's grouping. So really not putting in a regional there is probably not in our best interest if we can get it done.
Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah, putting in a regional station definitely will save us money. It's just a matter of how we can get now with money we've approved for budget.
Thank you, Mother.
Yeah, that's where I was lost. I just saw the 760. It's like, I don't see where we're out of budget. I understand where we're now. Okay.
I move we table resolution number R88-2016 until the December 6th council meeting.
Third.
Motion's made and seconded to table resolution R88-2016 until the December 6th meeting, was it?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Other discussion items. Does anybody want to have anything you want to?
Mayor, I had a few things. Richard, regarding the rewrite of the comp plan. Where is my role in this? And what I mean by that is being that this can dictate the where people can do with their property or where a guide is. Is this something that I need to just stay away from prior to that bringing to us? I mean, if people come up to us about questions, am I having to treat it as a land use that I should be not having ex parte or anything like that? I mean, I just want to make sure I'm clear on
it. If it's dealing generally, Council Member Jones, it's a legislative. If somebody comes to you on a particular piece of property, says, I own this piece of property and I want to do this, then that's going to be quasi-judicial. So you need to tread lightly on the questions that you're being asked and how you proceed. But if it's a general matter, again, it's going to be legislative and you're free to talk to people about it.
Okay, so there is some concerns I need to be careful of.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure that.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes up to me specifically and wants theirs to be zoned this, then I need to stay away from that.
Correct.
But if, okay, I understand. So I just want to make sure I was clear where, if I need to keep track of any records or anything. So thank you.
Thank you.
The other question I have is that I know we've talked in the past about the Greenbelt lighting. And I know we've purchased some items and have we acquired a developer put some stuff in, are we going to see legislation allowing, because right now are we not allowed to be on Greenbelt after dark?
Correct.
So are we
Bobby
in process?
And I will need to get together as we put those lights in. We can start coordinating opening up those sections of the pathway.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're not mandating somebody to do something that is, they technically don't have to do at this point. So I just want to make sure we're careful on that. So you guys have in process. That's great.
And then just to tag on to that, it was brought up at the last meeting about on Greenbelt extensions adding lighting.
Yep.
And so we're discussing how best to provide to make sure that happens and make it park standards and add it into the guidelines of our street lighting and that type of thing so that we can keep that going and make sure it's a part of that process as we move along.
Okay. The last thing I had is that we previously discussed the leash ordinance regarding Nicholson. I've had a few people approach me regarding that, and where I'm coming from on that is that when we last talked, we implemented that the dogs were required to be on leash, and that was going to be something temporary until we possibly looked into what other cities are doing, specifically Boise, of maybe allowing dogs off leash during certain times. I just, are we still doing that, or is our stand now is that that will be something that we will no longer be investigating, and it's just going to be a on leash park?
I don't think we've done anything different at Nicholson yet, mostly because of the issues that we have with it being a fishing pond. Most of the other cities that have fishing ponds don't allow dogs off leash at those ponds, so what we would like to do is try and get the dog park up and running and provide that pond for off leash for dogs. And, but it's certainly open to discussion if somebody has some ideas and preferences on that.
It doesn't matter to me, Mayor. I just wanted to just follow up because we talked about that, and I just didn't know if that's where we were heading still, or I'll just refer people. That's our goal this time is to do it through the dog park and allow the off-leash area, and that's probably at some point we probably will not be allowing the Nicholson Park to be off-leash during non-breeding seasons or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and like I say, we can leave that up for discussion, but it just kind of seems to me that fishing ponds are not the best place to have dogs off leash. It creates a lot of problems and that type of thing. So that was kind of my preference, was to get a dog park up and running. And it may not be the end-all, be-all to dog parks because of the size, but I think it's going to be a good start for the city of Kuna.
I guess my question to the council members is do we just want to keep that permanent then, or did we want to continue looking into that? What's your guys' preference? I don't.
I don't know that I have a strong preference either way. If we have a dog park, it seems like that would cover kind of the main needs to have, you know, an off-leash area.
Do you have a
Bobby Withrow, Parks Director. Councilman Jones, City Council. We are kind of working with that area. We're working to put a fence along part of it. So half of it, the green section around the pond, is going to be dogs have to be on leashes or no dogs allowed at all. And then on the other side, more towards Wall 5 area, it's more of a natural area. We're going to let dogs go off leash over there. So we are going to divide that so the homeowners around there can have their dogs off leash. As far as other parks, I've talked with Boise. They do have the same issue at a couple of their ponds. They handle it a couple different ways. Where the geese and ducks are staying there and have hatchlings every year, they don't allow dogs there. And if they are, it's strict on leash. And they do have people walking around writing tickets. And in some areas, they actually, part of the year, they encourage people to let their dogs off leash and kind of chase the geese away for a little while. So they're not always pooping on the grass. So it really depends on how bad the situation is. That's kind of how Boise does it. Ada County kind of does the same way. They're real strict with their leash rules as well, and they don't like dogs around the ponds where the wildlife is.
So our just in summary, I guess we're not ruling it out at this point. We're still investigating it and coming up with different options. And, okay,
yes,
that's kind of what I was getting. I just didn't know if we were still moving forward. We're against it 100%, or what where we were. So
yeah, I'm pretty much looking for different options to kind of keep dogs away from that area. So we're opening up options other places.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Barking up the wrong tree.
I bark every tree. I should know that by now, Richard.
I got a question for Bobby. Do you have any idea where we're going to put the splash pad? Have you given that any thought? Maybe the dog park?
Councilman Cardoza, yes, I've talked with Mayor Steer and a lot of the other directors, and we're kind of feeling right here where the dirt is right here, kind of right behind City Council or the City Hall, where the old BMX racetrack was. We feel if we put it in the main park, it's going to be too cluttered, and for what we want to do, it's just not going to be big enough. This section over here, we can start from brand new and do exactly what we want. So that's kind of where we're leaning right now.
Are you going to have ample parking there then?
Yes, we're going to make sure we have ample parking.
We're going to lower those hills and put grass in there,
mm-hmm.
and then a splash pond?
Yes, and grass around everything.
Okay.
I'm hoping by next council meeting to come with kind of a concept plan. So you guys can approve and we can get started on the project.
Where the dog park is going, is that water pond going to be available, accessible to the dogs then?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, over at Sadie Creek, that pond is still going to be accessible to dogs and people that want to use it.
Are you going to separate the dogs from the people since there's going to be children in that pond?
There's going to be a little bit of separation. I'm going to have the beach area, for lack of better words, humans only. and then the southern and western banks more dog friendly.
On the far side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we have an ordinance that you can't have dogs within, I think it's 100 feet of the playground. But that doesn't seem to deter people from walking the dogs over at the park in downtown. Who enforces that, the ordinance?
In town?
Over by the playground?
I think the police do. I know when
I... Do you actually get calls for... Okay.
Kind of add to that, Councilman Cardoza. In Boise, they actually have the clerk's office walk around and write tickets for people that are. No, I'm serious. I made sure I asked to write the leash tickets for people. So they came up with a way to have one of the staff members be able to write tickets and have them enforced.
Okay.
So that might be a possibility down the road.
I need to request a new person for my office.
Bobby, I had a quick question for you regarding the splash pad. Is there any consideration of public input of that splash pad?
Absolutely. I should try to get more public input before we go forward, so I'll let you guys look at it, and then we can get public input after that.
Yeah, I'm just concerned. I mean, obviously, sometimes what they may ask for may not happen either.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not be logistically possible, but I just want to make sure we're getting public mm-hmm. input of where maybe they have some ideas that they would
okay.
like to see it.
Mayor,
yep.
I think we have a retired police chief that would be glad to issue citations at the city park if we gave them free access to the slide? Welcome aboard, John.
I think you've just written your own prison sentence. Okay, anything further? Meeting adjourned.
What happened to the 45?